Jude chapter, Jude verses 20 to 25. Certainly we thank God for his blessings upon us. Thank God for these preachers and the persons of Reverend Van, Reverend Walker, Reverend McCoy, Reverend Mims. Thank God for the deacons and trustees who have devoted us. Thank God for the media ministry who gives us outlets from this place. We believe that the Word of God is preached to people we will never come into contact with. We might never know, but we believe the Lord is using technology to get His Word to the four corners of the earth. Thank God for this melodious singing praise team, musicians, environmental safety team. Thank God for all of you. It's good for us to be here. Let me suggest it again. It's good for us to be here. Yeah. We are alive. We're not dead sleeping in our grave. He blessed us with a day we don't deserve. For that reason, we say as the psalmist, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. You woke up on the right side of the bed. There are no wrong sides. Amen. There is no bad side of the bed. If the Lord gets you up in the morning, you bless more than you deserve. Amen. First Sunday of December 2021, a Sunday that has never been and will never be again. So this is a blessed day. This is a blessed day. Jude, verses 20 through 25. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Say to someone, if you will, the Lord is a keeper. Look at another and shout at them, if you will, the Lord is a keeper. Help me with elevated voices shout at our virtual audience, the Lord is a keeper. Now, if you believe that, bless him on your way to your seat. The Lord is a keeper. The Lord is a keeper. My brothers and sisters, apostasy, abandoning or renunciation of loyalty to God, is on the rise. Everywhere you look, people are renouncing all interest in the Christian faith and belief in the Bible. Reminded of a renowned hymn writer by the name of James Proctor. James Proctor was raised in an old-fashioned Christian home where he had family prayer. He lived as a boy in a good spiritual environment, attending Sunday school and church regularly. But in his early teens, he began to read the writings of free thinkers and other infidels. He read the errors of these writers to such an extent that his own faith in God was shaken. He left Christianity and joined in with the Free Thinkers Society in Manchester, England. He later became the president of the Free Thinkers Society. While Proctor was serving as president, he suffered a serious illness, fearing for his life and that his life was about to end. He requested of his sister to send for the minister of the gospel. The minister led him to a saving faith in Christ. The illness took a turn for the better. What I'm trying to say to us is he came back to the foundation he left. It is Jude, as he introduces himself as a servant of God. In verse 3, Jude said he desired to write the believers of the grace of redemption, but was prohibited by the Spirit because there was an insidious, corrupt people that crept into the church teaching seductive and damnable doctrines. These people were false teachers, known as scoffers, who followed their own ungodly passions. The false teachers were mockers of God's law. They were seducers. They were leading others astray by disregarding biblical sexuality. Their doctrine favored the corrupt lusts of men. Their doctrines were dangerous to the souls of men. In other words, their teachings were damnable heresies that denied the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us, any teaching, church teaching, that's absent of Jesus' Lordship is damnable. Paul said to the church at Galatia, if anybody come teaching or preaching any of the gospel besides this gospel that we preach unto you, they are a curse. There is no other gospel that saves like the gospel of Jesus Christ. These men in the church that Jude writes were teaching everything but the word of God. It was the word of philosophers, the word of men, the word of emotions, the word of feelings, doctrines intended to lure the believers from the principles and practice of God's word for their own selfish gain. So Jude, urged by the Holy Spirit, wrote to the believers to arouse them and stimulate them, awaken them to stand against the false teachers and their heresies. Jude encouraged them to fight for the faith. Fight for the faith. Let me hear you say, fight for the faith. They wasn't to fight for their faith in the Lord. They were to fight for the faith. The fight was to hold on to the word of God. Faith is the content of what is declared and what is believed. They were to fight to hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the faith that Jude talks about is truth. The gospel. You need to hold on to the gospel. Somebody needs to hear this today, because there are many things, many people, many situations, many feelings that will say to you, let go of the word of God. Let go of the truth of God. My brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but somebody needs to hear this, because they are about to let go and give up on the word of God. We are living in a pressurized period where it's easy to walk off and leave your faith in God. We are living in a chaotic
select society where it is easy to walk off and leave your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a time of twisted news and false news, and it is easy to be led astray. But somebody here today needs to hear me say to you, hold on to the truth of God's word. I don't care how many lies are around you. I don't care how much sin is around you. You need to hang on to the word of God. Jude yells at us with this word, hang on to the word of God, regardless of what others are teaching, regardless of what your situations are saying, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how hard times may be, hang on to the truth, the word of God. Do I have anybody here who can be a witness that there are benefits of hanging on to the word of God? Listen, the word of God is sure and very sure. The Lord said, before one jot or tittle passes from his word, heaven and earth will pass. His word is something to hold on to and to hold you in the midst of your tests and trials. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them that's faith. That's faith when you hold on to God's word. That's faith when you put the word of God in place and practice what it says in the midst of tests. That's faith. Jude said they had a word and they were to stay with what was taught them about Jesus Christ. There are people who build their lives with the words of the world. But when the storms come, the words of the world can't keep you. But you as Christians are to build your life with your most holy faith. According to verse 20, he says that this holy faith is a faith in an inerrant word. He reveals a threefold security in this particular pericope for the believers. First of all, believers are responsible to keep themselves in the love of God. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. 21 indicates the responsibility of the believer. Yes, it is God who keeps us. It is God who keeps us, but he gives over a responsibility to us to keep ourselves in the love of God. To keep yourself in the love of God means to look for his love, to live within his love, and to expect his love. As a blood-bought child of God, you should look for the love of God. You should live in the love of God, and you should expect the love of God. Look, the more you look for and look into the love of God, the more you want to be in his love. It's something about his love. It's amazing just to think on the love. Paul said in Ephesians that his love is so great that we cannot comprehend it. He said it is so high that you can't go above it. It is so wide you can't go around it. It is so deep you can't go beneath it. It is so far reaching that you can't outrun it. He said that his love is infinite. And to think on the infinite love of God, just how much God loves me, makes me fall deeper in love with him. Do I have anybody here can be a witness? When you think about how much he loves you, you should have been dead, sleeping in a grave. You should have been somewhere homeless. You should have been somewhere on the system. But the Lord has blessed you because he loves you. And the more you think about God's love for you and what he spared you from in this life and in the life to come, you ought to fall deeper in love with him. You're kept by the love. Keep yourselves in the love. Jesus said in John 15:9, abide ye in his love. God does not make us stay in his love. But as we look into, we desire or should desire to be in the love. It is T. Krauskery who said, our preservation in the midst of heresies and impiety depends on our dwelling in God's love. He went on to say, we cannot keep ourselves in God's love without having our own love deeply stirred. See, when you love God, you don't come out of obligation, you come out of privilege. See, when you fall in love with God, you don't give out of compulsion. You give out of compassion. You give because you love God. You come because you love God. You don't worship because somebody gives you instruction. Worship just bubbles up out of the inside of you because you love Him. And the more you muse over and look into the love of God, the deeper you fall in love with God, because you can't outlove God loving you. Oh. He says you keep yourself in the love. I don't need a rule. His love is enough. Y'all missed that. His love is enough. It's an attitude of expectation. It is an expectation of mercy that aids us in keeping ourselves in the love of God. This expectation is stated in verse 21. Jude says, we are to wait expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. It's expectation. I'm not down because I have an expectation. I'm not disturbed because I have an expectation. I'm not defeated or discouraged because I have an expectation. I'm expecting to see the mercy and experience the mercy at his coming. He says that's the first fold of the security that we are to keep ourselves. But secondly, he deals with our responsibility to one another. Listen to him, if you will, keeping one another. Verses 22 and 23, he says, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Here it is. He says, some are in light trouble. The troubles that they are in causes them to waver. And you know you have some wavering folk in church. You know, people that's with it for a minute, and the next minute they're not. They are not strong. They can't endure light afflictions. And light troubles cause them to waver. Start out good. A little ways down the road, they bump into a little trouble and they waver. He says, by compassion, save them. Don't throw them away. I know they are known to do it. He says, but by compassion, save them. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. But not only does he deal with light afflictions and those who waver, he also mentions those who are in deep, deadly trouble. those who have fallen into the fire. They are at a point of destruction, a point of death. And he says we have a responsibility of reaching out to them, reaching into the fire and pulling them out. You know, fire burns. But you still have to reach into the fire and pull. Risk a hand or arm to save a life. You have to reach into the fire. He says, you do that if you have compassion. Some people are showing up trouble. They are flirting with spiritual death. They have walked away from the church altogether. Have renounced their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, Jude says that we are to reach. Don't you let them just stay in the fire. You're mighty insensitive. You can sit and watch them burn. He says, you have compassion to reach into the fire and pull, which means there's some resistance because they think they are doing good in the fire. You know, some people think that they are doing good in the world. And they think they have it better in the world than we have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the devil is a liar. Don't you let the devil fool you, nor let him fool the people that you love the most, like they have it better in the world. No, it's better in the Lord. Reach and pull. The Can Spirituals sang a song a few years ago that Mama drugged me to church. And we got to start a dragon ministry. Got to start dragging some of these folks in here. And when you drag them in here, they fall asleep. Let them fall asleep. The word can wake them up. If you drag them in here and they got a little smoke in the clothing, just let them sit in here with the smoke in the clothing, because the word will clean them up. If they come in here and they feel a little hungover from the night before, let them be hangover from the night before. The word will straighten them up and wake them up. Look at somebody and tell them, we need a dragon ministry. Drag your brother, drag your sister, drag your husband, drag your wife, drag your children. We need a dragon ministry. He gives a third fold of this security of the believers. Here it is. He says that Jesus is the greatest security. He is our security. We are secure in Him. He says, now, unto Him who's able to keep you from stumbling. Now, unto Him. I'm trying to let you catch up with me. Now, unto Him who's able. Is there anybody in here who can praise the ableness of God? Now, unto Him who's able. The only reason you are up in here right now is because He's able. Now, unto Him who's able to keep. This word keep means to preserve from danger of harm. It means to guard and to watch over. In other words, Jude says that the believer is safe because God is watching over the believer and He is keeping the believer from falling. I got in me what it takes to fall and fail, but He's keeping me. I got some crazy thoughts in my mind that'll cause me to stumble and fall, but he's keeping me. I got some stuff in my heart that's not like God, but he is. Is there anybody in here can be a witness today? You too got some stuff in your mind and some stuff in your heart, but the only reason you are here is because the Lord is keeping. The only reason you hadn't messed up and committed that error that others have committed is because the Lord is keeping. All of us have the propensity of error. But Jude inserts, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. He watches over us. It is David in Psalms 11. In a time of trouble said, the Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. In other words, David said, in times of trouble, we can rest assured that God sees us and he will take care of us. The psalmist in Psalm 33, verse 13 said, the Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. Asaph, in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, while soliciting help from Syria, said, for the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He watches over us. He sees us. That word kept means to see, but not only to see, the word kept also means to preserve from danger of harm. He sees our troubles before we get to it, because he's eternal God. He knows what's down the road, and he preserves. He puts a protective barrier around his children and keep them. If you don't believe me, you remember Job. Job, when Job was minding his own business, Satan had to ask God for permission. He had to ask God to let down the veil, let down the hedge that was around Job. He preserves us. What I rejoice in the fact of is that God will only let through what I can handle. So if I'm dealing with anything in this life, it's not to make me bitter, but better, because God has allowed it to bless me. Even my troubles, he allows to bless me, because he preserves me from all evil. The things you're dealing with in life, God allows, or he's allowing you to deal with it, because he knows you can endure it. And he knows that it will edify you. Some of you can be a witness today. You're better because you have dealt with some things. You've had some troubles in your life. You're closer to God now because you have had some troubles in your life. You have had some situations that you could only deal with on knee station. Somebody here can be a witness that if God had not allowed you to go through what you have gone through. Listen, I know that cancer you had was rough, but that cancer got you closer. I know that debt you had was rough, but that debt got you a desire to see God. I know that crazy man or that crazy woman that you went through in relationship was tough, but that relationship difficulty made you dutiful in the Lord's service. You ought to be a witness today. God has a hedge around you, and whatever he allows to get through, it's for your good. You need some stumbling blocks. You need some ditches. You need a few lies told on you. You need a pink flip every now and then. Because you got too cocky. Too arrogant. And deceited. With that big check you was getting. And he had to show you that it wasn't that job who was making a way for you. But it was the Lord who was keeping you. And let me let you in on a little secret. It's the Lord who's keeping you now. Do I have anybody here can look at somebody and say, it's not my job. It's not my money. It's not my smarts. It's the Lord who's keeping me. Come on, tell somebody else. It's not my job. It's not my money. It's not my smarts or sophistication. It's the Lord who's keeping me. Come on, I need you to say it one more time until you feel good about saying it. It's not my money. It's not my job. It's not my smarts or my sophistication. It's the Lord who's keeping me. Oh, and he's keeping me. He is keeping. He's watching over. He's preserving us. He said he is able to keep us from falling. Keep us from falling. If I had time, I would talk about how he prepares our feet and make us sure-footed. But since I don't have time, if I had time, I would talk about how he prepares us to walk up on our high places. But if I had time, I would talk about how the devil stuck out his foot to trip us up and how other people stuck out their feet to trip us up. But the Lord kept us from stumbling. He's able to keep us. He's able to present us. Verse 24, B clause reveals the coming work of Jesus, what Jesus will do for us to present you faultless. Honesty in mirror glance reveals fault. That we are not perfect, but Jesus will present us without fault. It means to present means to set one up, to make one stand. And faultless means to be without blemish, which is applied to the Levitical offering of the Old Testament. And Christ himself in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. In the Old Testament, the offering, the sacrifice presented had to be blameless. David asked the question, who can go into the most holy place of the Lord? Who can stand in the Lord's sanctuary? Only he that has a clean hand and a pure heart. Certainly David wasn't talking about us. We got messed up hands and impure hearts. Come here, Solomon. Solomon said, a man's heart is desperately wicked. And who can know it? He was not talking about us, but he's talking about somebody who will represent us and make us fit to stand in the most holy place. He was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus went into the holy place. And he offered up himself as an offering. And I said, for our good, he died, I tell you. Somebody here knows he died. He died and he shed blood on that cross. Blood for the remission of our sin. He died. Oh, if I feel it now, I might as well, because I feel it. He died. Until the moon dripped away in blood, he died. Until the S-U-N refused to shine, he died. Until a centurion said he must be the Son of God, he died. Until the earth reeled and rocked like a drunk man, somebody here knows he died. But the good news is that he didn't stay dead. He got up early that Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Is there anybody in this room can praise God for the high priest who went into the most holy place and offered up a sacrifice on our behalf? He shed his blood to make us right. He shed his blood to take us into the presence of his Father and present us unto his Father without wrinkle or blemish. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for being my high priest. Thank you, Jesus, for being able to keep me. Thank you, Jesus, for being able to present me now unto you, the God who's wise, and a God who's omnipotent, a God who has majesty, a God of dominion and power, both now and forever. Somebody here ought to give God glory, because he's the wise God. Jesus is wiser than wise. He's smarter than smart. He has all knowledge. He has knowledge of heaven and earth. He is the wise God. He is our Savior and Lord. And to him be glory and dominion. Why don't you go and give him what he deserves? Why don't you stand up on your feet and lift up holy hands and give him the praise that he deserves? He deserves all the praise and all the glory and all the majesty, power and dominion. He's God and God all by himself. He's higher than high. He's gooder than good. He's better than best. He's God all by himself. He's grandmama's walking cane. He's granddaddy's healing. He's a lily of the valley, bright and morning star. Why don't you go on and give him the praise he deserves? He's somebody's healer. He's somebody's deliverer. He's somebody way out of nowhere. He's somebody's peace. He's somebody's horse pawing in the valley. He's somebody. Ain't he alright? Let me hear you say he's alright, because he's able to present you and keep you. Hallelujah. Every step I make, I'm kept in the name of Jesus. Every word I speak, I'm kept in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to leave you when I tell you this. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Do I have a witness? Somebody here can praise him, because where you are, he brought you. What you have, he gave it to you. Where you're going, he's going to take you. Let me ask you my question, then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he alright? If you know he's alright, let me hear you say, yeah! He is the ultimate security. We strive to keep ourselves. We strive to keep one another. But ultimately, we are kept by the Lord Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He's keeping us from falling. He's keeping us to present us to His Father. As a church, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, we're made right in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see the flaws and the faults, the errors, the imperfections. The Lord doesn't see us like we see ourselves. Because we're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He sees His Son's blood, which is perfect, pure, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We praise Him and celebrate Him because of what He's doing in our life. May not be all that ought to be, but I thank God. I'm not who I used to be. The Lord has wrought a change in my life. Listen, I want to remind you, the Lord has given you a ministry to drag people into church. They don't smell good because they've been smoking. They still need God. If they don't smell right because they've been drinking, they still need God. Because they've been laying and playing, they still need God. And they need you to be about your ministry where you drag them to church. Keep saying it to them. I need you to go to church with me next Sunday. Because as the Lord is keeping us, He has a desire. He has compassion for the lost. And He wants them to come in. And He will keep them. So we serve as His hands and His feet to draw them into church, to draw them into Christ. Listen, you can't clean a fish in the water. You know it took some time for you. You had some college days and some wayward days. Some of us started out in Sunday school. But we like James Proctor, not so much so that we were influenced by free thinkers. But the world got us. And we wavered. And God had somebody to say to us, "You have no business out here." I can remember when I've been preaching all of my adult life, but prior to being an adult, I was a regular boy, you know. You know, grew up in Sunday school, but, you know, that with the club life, you know. You know, some people say, you know, people who are caught up in certain things can't tell them nothing. Well, they can tell you a whole lot if you listen. And you know, you have no business being at the club when a club goer tell you, you ain't got no business being at there. What you doing here? Y'all ever been there? You ain't got no business being there. And what it is, the Lord is chasing you from there. Chasing you back into the church. Driving you back into the church. Because His children can't do everything people of the world are doing. He keeps us from falling. we almost lose our way, but he keeps us from falling. And then he says there are some who are about to be destroyed, and we are to reach into the fire and pour them out. Listen, somebody here, you're not saved. And the Lord had you here today to hear just how much he loves you and what he wants to do in your life. He's able to save you and keep you. If you're here and you're not saved, come respond to the Lord properly. Now is the day of salvation. Come. Give the Lord your life. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden and you need to be restored, come. The Lord will restore you. Refocus, re-energize, redirect, rebuild you. Come. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart, come. 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 The Lord is speaking. Come. Come. Bless you. Bless you, baby. Come. You can come by ladder. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't let this day, don't let this time pass you by. Come. Because he lives. Listen to it. Listen to it. All right, God. Come, come, come. Bless you. Come on, come on. There's another. Come. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking. Come. Come on, y'all say that with them if you will. Encourage somebody to come. Hallelujah. We don't serve a dead God. A dead Lord or a dead Savior. He's a... Come on, the door, the door. Amen. Sister Sean Washington. Christian Experience me. Come on, bless the Lord. Christian Experience means that you have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. But you want to come and be a member of this church to carry out your duties and responsibilities as a Christian. The Lord has not called us to pew. He sit on the pew, but he has called us to participation and practice of his word. We have many ministries here. We want to share our church, our ministries with you, and some lessons. We have orientation, and we want you to give your information to Sister Kirkland so that we can share with your time that's good for you to take you through orientation. 4 classes, not to test what you know, but just to help you and to develop you and to introduce and reveal our church to you so you can be assimilated into the ministries of the church for the glory of God and the good of mankind. Father, we thank you for this soul that you have sent our way. We take responsibility
as pastor members of this church to lead her in the way, to help her along the way. Lord, we thank you that you saw fit and you see fit to add to the church. Lord, so we pray that it be for your glory. Lord, we pray that it will be to strengthen this community in a Christian and Christ-like way. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. Come on, once. Does everyone have a couplet, communion couplet? If not, please raise your hand. Please raise your hand. Don't have a couplet, please raise your hand. Glory to God. Jesus and his disciples went into the upper room to eat of the Passover meal. And Jesus said to them, I have need to eat with you this meal before I suffer. While they were there in the upper room eating of the meal, he took bread and he raised it unto his Father. And he prayed and asked God's blessings upon it. And after he prayed over it, he took it and he broke it. Gave to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken. After they supped together, Jesus took the cup and said, this is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood shed for you. Take, drink. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for what our eyes have seen, hearts have received. Thank you for fellowship and the strengthening of our faith by the word. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Lord, we thank you for the souls that you added. We thank you for the members that are here and those who are watching virtually. Now, Father, as we make ready to leave this place, we ask your grace and mercy. The communion of the Holy Spirit, that it will rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen. Go in peace.